John chapter 4, verse 39 is our text today. And in fact, would you mind just standing with me one more time for the reading of God's word? Thank God that we're a church of the word. John chapter 4, 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we now know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." Would you just join me in prayer one more time? Lord, we ask for your anointing to come upon us now as we spend some time in your word, as we spend some time in this powerful passage from John chapter 4. And Lord, that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds and make us, cause us to lift up our eyes and look around us to the fields that are ripe to harvest. Cause us, Lord, to tell our story, your story, more and more, and broadcast the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it is the power of God that changes lives. Lord, bless us this time together today, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful congregation today. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord. What was her story? What was her story? Who was this woman at the well? She was a woman in a man's world, a Samaritan in a Jew's world, a woman with 5 failed marriages, and the man she was with right now was not her own. She was a woman that was looked down upon, probably the center of gossip. Probably she was whispered about, glared at, and many times just flat out avoided. She was probably the source of jokes by some and taken advantage of by others. This was the woman at the well, and such was her life. But maybe she was used to it. Maybe she was used to the stares. Maybe she had grown used to the gossip and the avoidance. Maybe she had developed creative mechanisms within her to deal with the criticism. Perhaps she had a mental strategy to block it all out, to not think about it. She didn't want to think about the mistakes and the sorrows and all of the heartaches in her life, because many of those things she had even brought upon herself. And so maybe she just tried to keep her mind occupied. We probably can pretty well guarantee emotionally she was no doubt a wreck. Now, maybe she hid it well. Maybe she only cried when she was at home and in private, and the rest of the world never saw it. Or maybe she wore her emotions on her sleeve, and all who saw her just realized that she just had all of these raw feelings always coming out. We don't know. Maybe she had grown bitter and cold and distant. Maybe she was happy-go-lucky, pretending that everything was okay. We don't know, but we do know this. Her life was a wreck. Where was her life headed? Another failed relationship? Maybe an early grave? We don't know. But we know this, that her direction was not heading in a desirable one. Things seemed to be destined to end badly. And why not? Everything else in her life had gone wrong. But she makes a trip one day, seemingly a random trip to a well to draw water. How could she know that this would be the day that there would be a big change that would come to her life? How could she even know that the very God of all eternity had already destined a divine appointment for her at the well side? And her life, her story, if you will, was going to change. Verse 10 said it this way, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you go on down to verse 14, he said, but whoever drinks of this water I shall give him will never thirst. But this water that I give him shall be like a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. How was she to know that that would be the day she found this living water? And I just propose to you this morning that there are many among us in this world today who are like this woman in one way or another. But today could be their day of salvation. Tomorrow could be their destiny to meet up with this God and find this water springing out of them like fountains into everlasting life. Her story was about to take a dramatic turn. We've talked about that word, recalculating. Her story was about to become a bold one. And maybe, just maybe, you and I can relate at some level to this woman. Maybe, just maybe, we can think back in time when our lives too were changed dramatically and our storyline was changed and God began to write our story and God began to edit our story and things began to turn around for us because we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 says it this way. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath just as the others. We were all born sinners. You say, Pastor, that's just not good for my self-esteem. I'm sorry, we were all born sinners in need of a Savior. But God. Look at your neighbor and just say, but God. In verse 4, there is a but God experience. At the well, there was a but God experience. All things were going wrong, but God stepped in. And look in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and in our sins, he has raised us up alive together with Christ. And by grace, we have been saved. You say, I earned it. Oh, no, you did not earn it. By grace, we have been saved. You say, I deserved it. No, I did not deserve it. It is by his grace that I have been saved. But here is where the story just begins. Our salvation, our conversion is just the beginning. It's only the first chapter of a new story that God begins to write in our lives. God does not just save us so he can secure our eternal destiny. Oh, that's good, that's great, and I thank God that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. But he saves us so that we can live it out and have a bold story here on earth, right here and right now. And verse 10 says it this way, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You say, you mean to tell me that God can use me and he has good works planned for my life? Absolutely, yes, and amen, he does. And this is our bold story. And this can become our bold testimony. It can become our bold testament to God. And if anyone had a bold story, this woman did. The first three verses in Ephesians 2 described her very well, and maybe, just maybe, some of these things described us before Christ. Dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, walking according to the course of this world, walking according to the prince and the power of the air. Who is the prince and the power of the air? That is Satan. And can I just say it with all love and all kindness? If we are not walking according to God, we are walking according to the prince and the power of the air, Satan. There's no in between. And there's no sugarcoating it. And we say, but they're a good person. They may be a good person, but if they're not following Christ, we're following the prince and the power of this air. We were influenced by the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. But here we see that there can be an Ephesians 2:4 experience, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace we have been saved. This was her story. This, in some way or another, relates to us and our story. And Franny Crosby wrote it this way when she wrote that beautiful hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This was her story. But I want to talk just a few moments about his story, about Christ's story. Who is this Christ, this Messiah, who was standing by a wellside? He was waiting for a woman to come. He started talking to this woman. He started speaking words to her and showing love to her, words and love that was so powerful that her very life began to change right before his eyes. You may look at me this morning, you say, Pastor, can I really change? Can my life really change? And I want to tell you that God's love and God's word is so powerful that your life can change and turn around. This is his story. Jesus is standing there by the well. The disciples come back. They're stunned that he's talking to this Samaritan woman. The woman gets so overwhelmed by hope that she leaves her water pot, forgets why she even came in the first place, runs to the city to start telling her story about this one who told her everything that she had done. But it was kind of humorous. The disciples were only worried about food. They were probably a little bit related to this pastor. They could have been members of Nortonsville Church of God. We like food. And Jesus has just talked to this lady, and her life is starting to radically change. And all the old boys want to say is, Master, Rabbi, have you had anything to eat? They had gone to the city to buy bread, and he said, I don't need food. And I don't know if they looked at each other and said, did somebody bring him something? Did somebody go down to the Subway and get him a 6-inch Subway melt while we were gone? Why is he not hungry? But Jesus says to them something that I want us to look at from verse 34. Actually, three things I want us to pull out from verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I want to read that scripture again. I want us to pull out some things. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus was giving them a model right here that after our conversion, after we come to Christ, this gives us a model that we should follow. First is the food. What is food? I love food. We love to eat food around here. What is it? It's something that provides nutrients. It provides energy for our activity. If we eat food, it will cause growth. Sometimes too much growth it will cause. We eat food and it helps power all the functions of our body. Even breathing and keeping warm can tie to having the right amount of food and nutrition. Food brings material for growth and repair of the body. It's not good to avoid food. That's why when someone is sick, it is so important to try to get nourishment and food into them, so much so that sometimes even a feeding tube will be placed into a body. Food is important. Food is our life source. And so the disciples were not very far off when they looked at Jesus and they said, you need to eat. Have you ate? But Jesus said, my food is not your food. My food is to do the will of God and to finish what God has planned for my life. And I want to propose to us this morning that that is the same food that you and I need. And I want to say to us as Christians, if we have become, hear me with love this morning, if we have become sluggish in our Christian walk, maybe, just maybe, we're not having the right spiritual food. If we have become cynical in our Christian walk, maybe, just maybe, our diet needs to change. Maybe if we seem sickly and weak, maybe our food needs to change or increase. Can I tell you that as Christians, we're going to be the happiest when we're giving and serving and functioning in the giftedness that God has given to us. That's what Jesus is saying right here. But when I sit down and I just say, well, I'm upset, so I'm just not going to work for the Lord or the church anymore, that's when we become sickly and weak and cynical. When I decide that I'm just too busy with other things and the distractions of this world are taking all of my time and I'm just not going to work for God like I used to, I'm just not going to serve Him like I used to. When that happens in our life, I promise you, we're going to become stale and dissatisfied and unhappy. But Jesus would tell us our food is to do the work of God. Our food is to follow His plan and His will for our lives. What are you preaching, Pastor? I am preaching for us this morning to renew in our mind. What is it that God has called us to do in this day and in this hour? And then step up and get after it and do it. We'll be happier that way. We'll be more fulfilled that way. The other thing that I find just in this one little verse is not only did Jesus tell them that the food was to do His will, but He had a razor sharp focus that He was going to do the will of God and see it through until completion. What is focus? I've been to the optometrist a few times. In fact, if you were to come up here and take my contacts out right now, the whole room would just be quite the blur. But I always enjoy going to the optometrist. What'd you do today? I went to the optometrist. Some people race motorcycles. I go to the optometrist. But in all seriousness, I do enjoy going to the optometrist. I don't know why I like that. It's just kind of relaxing to me. I kind of enjoy it. And I love it. I just absolutely love it. I kid you not. When they take that big thing, that's the scientific word for it. They take that big thing and they put it at my eyes and they start shifting those circles. You know what I'm talking about? And you're looking at little letters and they'll say, better now. Or better now, right? This way. I love it. And one day when you see me come in here with glasses that are about that thick, you're going to know it's because I just got caught up in the moment. And just gonna, yes. go. I love it. I really do. I just, something about that. It's real exciting. Then they put that, this has nothing to do with anything, but they put that stuff in you and your eye dilates about that big and wide, and you look in the mirror and you got a big black spot. Well, anyway, that has nothing to do with the sermon. But I love it when they clear now. This one or this one? All right, I got to get off of that. I'll stop. But what we have to do in our regular lives and our spiritual lives, I believe, is sometimes to spend some time in prayer with God and say, clear now. This way, this way. Am I preaching all right? Do you get my point? This way, Lord, or better here? Better here? Better here. And then finally, Dr. Jesus will say, that's it. That's the focus right there. And once we see that clear focus and plan for our lives, I propose to us that we should sell out and head and pursue that focus and don't turn back. Jesus said, I have food that you don't know of. Jesus had a focus, and I believe He would tell us, find that focus and see it to completion. And if we do that, God is faithful to help us see it to completion. Well, how do I know that? Philippians 1:6. being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Psalm 48 then gives us a response. I desire to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. Psalm 143 and 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. I want to tell somebody this morning, God has a plan for your life. Get it clear and keep it the main thing. And then finally in this verse, we see that Jesus was going to finish. Finish. How do we finish? The Church of God recently put out something called the Finish Commitment. You may have seen it in some of the publications. And they made an acrostic with the word finished. And they took every letter of finish and had an objective tied to it. How do we finish? One, F, we find the lost. I, we intercede, making prayer our highest privilege and our greatest responsibility. Can I just stop right there and say, never underestimate the power of prayer. And some of you in this house today, you say, well, all I can do is pray. Hey, that's what we need, is for you to pray. And I believe that when the prayer warriors start going to the closet and praying to God in the secret place, God pours out his blessings here in the public assembly. So if you're one of those prayer warriors, I encourage you this morning, pray without ceasing. God is honoring that, and God is using that. The end was networking, and I like this, all generations. You know, one thing I like about this church is we see all generations. There's a generational blessing that has been part of this church that mothers have passed on to children, and children have passed on to grandchildren. And I want to remind us, as we move into the rest of 2019 and on into the future, let's not drop that mantle. Let us ensure that our children and that our grandchildren are serving the Lord. Let us finish well. S was to send disciples of all nations, or to all nations, actively sharing the gospel. We should be a church of world missions. We should be missions minded. And then the H, we must commit now. Everybody say now. To reap the harvest. It is so easy to say, I will witness another day. It is so easy to say that I'll get active another day. But today is the day to start. Now is the time. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, for such a time as this. And Esther was placed for such a time as this. And I propose to all of us this morning, we have been placed here for such a time as this. May we not let opportunity passes by. Back to chapter 4 in John, looking down at 34 and 35, here's what Jesus says we must finish. Jesus said, I had food, that's my life source. He said, I have focus, that's my life passion. But finishing will be our life's achievement. And here's what Jesus said in verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. 35, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. I'm sure I'm preaching to a lot of farmers and gardeners and people who know how the seasons work, and we just don't get a harvest right after sowing a seed. But Christ is saying right here, lift up our eyes and look around us. There's already a harvest. There's already a hurting and a dying world who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And isn't that why we're here? Is that our purpose this morning? Is that why this church has been raised up on 1505 Simmons Gap Road here in Dyke, Virginia? Did God raise us up to reach the harvest in 2019? I believe he did. If he tarries his coming, did he raise us up to reach the harvest in 2020 and beyond? I believe he did. May it become our passion. May it become our heartbeat to reach the lost. We came in here this morning to a beautiful building, a clean building, an immaculately clean building. We came in here with so much love, you could just bottle it up and take it with you. We came into a lot of laughter and hugging and shaking hands, and then didn't that choir sing and that awesome special song, and then the worship team that brought us into the presence of the Lord. And I propose to you, there are a lot of people out there who could really benefit from what we have right here. May we look. May we lift up our eyes. May we finish. There's families to reach. There's individuals to reach. There are communities to reach. We must finish. We must start thinking about eternal objectives, eternal significance. Somehow in this rat race in which we live and the things that vie for our time and our attention, somehow we've got to again put eternal things above temporal things. And may this become our story. We've talked about her story, the woman at the well. We've talked about his story, Jesus' story, his food, which was his life source, his focus, which was his life passion, his finishing, which was his life achievement. But what about our story? I would like to think that our story can mirror this right here in verse 39, if you want to follow with me. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we have heard him for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." A beautiful thing happened. She went and shared her story. May we go and share our story. She got them into an audience with Jesus so they could hear his story. And when they heard his story, their very lives were changed. And I believe today that that same formula still works. May we find them and compel them to come in. And when they come in, may they find an environment where they encounter the Lord Christ and hear of his words, hear of his love, and may it change their very life. May that be our story. May that be our story. May we make the gospel newsworthy. You may remember the time when the news came on at 6 o'clock and the paper came, usually, in the morning. The news came a couple ways at a couple times. You may remember that. If the old paper boy got up in time, then your paper was there and you were able to read the morning paper. And then you may have waited then until the 6 o'clock news came on to see what else was happening in the world. What was newsworthy? But now we live in a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news cycle. And news is reported constantly over multiple devices. And in fact, we can just click on a little phone and find our own news and usually find the news we want to hear and how we want to hear it. I propose to you that the gospel cannot be like that old form of news cycle. The gospel cannot anymore be contained to just a Sunday morning experience and a Wednesday evening experience. The gospel is worth more than that, and the gospel needs to become a 24/7 news cycle. The good news needs to be broadcast on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. How does that happen? Through you and through me. We are ambassadors for Christ. May we share his good news. I ask this question as we start to look towards closing. Is the gospel worth sharing? I'll ask it again. I want you to think about that. Is the gospel worth sharing? For those of you on Facebook and social media, every now and then we'll find something and we'll think, "I'm going to share that." We'll click and we'll share it. We have found that to be worthy for some reason of sharing. But is the gospel worth sharing? And I'm not just talking about social media. That's one means we can use. But is the gospel really worth sharing? Has the gospel really made such a change in our lives that it's worth somebody else hearing about it? May we finish the work. May we finish the great commission that God has called us to. So we're going to have a unique altar response this morning. If our praise team would come and get into place. I've got some teenagers, or Pastor Jacob arranged some teenagers. They're going to help me with something this morning. I want to ask us some questions. What individual needs to hear in our life? In our life, is there an individual we know who needs to hear this gospel story? Is there a family, maybe even our own family, who needs again to hear this gospel story? Is there a neighbor who needs to hear the gospel? A coworker, a friend, or maybe even somebody new that God has just put in our path who needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? They're going to sing a song for us right now, and the teens are going to get into place. And I feel like this song just kind of embodies the message this morning. It says, the lost are saved and they find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. The enemy has to flee at the sound of your great name. All the weak can find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace. The fatherless find rest. The sick are healed and the dead are raised. How? At the sound of your great name. And I propose to us this morning, Nortonsville Church of God, this world around us needs to hear that great name. And it must be proclaimed from you and from me. In the words of Jesus, let us one more time look. Let us one more time lift up our eyes and see this great harvest around us. And may we live it out through our actions, but may we speak it out also about his great name. There is a story to tell, and it is newsworthy. Is the gospel really worth sharing? Has he really done so much for me that I really believe he can do so much for you and I want to share it with you? Or do I just want to hold it to myself and just hold on to this great news and this great plan of salvation? Or do I want to give it away and I want to show the world that Jesus can save, that the lost can be saved, the weak can find strength, the sound of his great name.